You comfortable?
Yeah, really.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. We're well into September, and we have Alan Ford here. He looks like he's about to go and like beat someone up because they owe him money.
Just because I'm wearing a black tracksuit. Good morning to you.
He got out of his car this morning. I got out of my car at the same time in the parking lot. Alan Ford gets out of his car. Oh, fuck.
You thought I was a debt collector.
Yeah, but you looked grumpy as hell. You got this haircut now. I like the haircut. Very good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. But you look like a leb who is going to go and get some money from somebody.
Good morning to you and to you and especially to you. How are you doing? So I must tell you, I see this new chair setup, you know. So
I'm trying to find it.
I'm trying to find a way to put the rolls and tuck everything in, you know.
You're worried about the fat.
The fat, yeah.
Still.
With my whole life, you know,
but then,
down,
I mean, haven't you got used to it now?
No, because I'll lose it and it comes back. And
it loves you. It loves you. It wants you back.
It's terrible. And then I saw that I could lose weight.
Oh, yeah. We've got a magic formula for Alan to lose weight. Look at this.
Look at this.
All he has to do, like Harry Potter, he's got a cloak of invisibility. He can hide the fat.
Now I've cut half my fat off.
That's magic, Al. You should just do everything on green screen.
I should just do it like this. It should just be a floating head.
So if anyone's listening instead of just watching, which you should be doing on YouTube by now.
It's a
floating head now.
Yeah, it's a
green, it's a green suit. Screen. So that's actually a bodysuit.
I can't fit into the bodysuit.
You could, it's stretchy. I don't know. Anyway, our producers are going to use that to like look like a tokolosh that brings a drink on out of nowhere.
Yeah, I've just thrown it away so we can get back to real business.
All right, so what's real business? What do you want to talk about so urgently?
How's it going?
Lekker, very good. I love this time of year. I'm as happy as can be. Things are going well. Everybody's by and large healthy. I'm very, very sad about Fresh's wife Tubby. So that put me on a bit of a downer last weekend. But
yeah,
otherwise, 50, you know what?
50 years old. Yeah, very sad. That's sad. And
I said to somebody the other day that you wake up and you have a choice to wake up and have a lovely day or to have a shit day. And I just choose to have a lovely day.
Because we're on that border, you know.
What do you mean?
Of almost being 50.
Go straight to hell. Why do you have to bring that up?
Because you just turned 47 last week.
Last Monday, yeah.
Yeah. And and what happens is...
I noticed, by the way, there's a bit of passive-aggressive shit coming from you. Alan wishes me happy birthday, but he makes sure to put in 47th birthday.
Why?
You like that?
Because it's weird. It's weird. You and I started on air at the age of 20, Gareth.
Yeah.
That's 27 years of doing crazy, wonderful, insane, some of the most insane things if you look back over time. And we were talking about some of those things. Do you remember being locked and staying in a prison in CMAX?
Yeah, but we weren't locked up because we were prisoners.
No, because
explain that to people. You can't start a conversation by going, do you remember being locked up in CMAX prison?
So let me
that's,
tell you.
That's not where you start a conversation with people you don't know.
Let me tell you what happened. We did the breakfast show for a South African talk radio station.
You can say it. We don't care about that. 702 back in the day.
And what happened was Gareth and I, with Yusuf Abramji, decided to do the morning show from
the
CMAX.
We even got prisoners' uniforms.
They gave us, and we could take them home, eh? And that's
I smuggled mine home. Yeah. So I've got at home.
I also do.
An orange uniform with prisoner written in circles all the way around.
And you know, if you found that,
they'll
put you away. Because it's like you're escapee.
No, it's in my one cupboard where you know, like when you have to dress up for a party or something.
And so what ended up happening was Gareth and I went in there the day before. We got to do a tour of the prison.
Terrible place.
We met all the hijackers and the transvestites.
Did you meet some transvestites?
No. The trans, you know, the cash
and transits. Yeah.
Anyway, at that time, we met the famous serial killer, Moses Sithole.
That's right. And Colin Chauke.
Whose eyes looked like this.
Colin Chauke was in there as well. He was also a famous killer.
He was that's the cash and transits guy.
And and then there was also Eugene de Kock was in then.
Yeah. So we had to stay that night.
Not a celebrity.
It wasn't Robben Island, but we had to stay the night. And what ended up actually happening was that we did the morning show for them. It was quite freaky.
Well, I'll tell you what I've never forgotten. One of the things I've never forgotten about that particular project that we did was that the awaiting trial prison was worse than the normal prison.
Do you remember that?
Because there are people there, and there was like this foreign guy who grabbed my arm while we were walking through it and said, please, please help me. I've been in here for 4 years. And all he did was there was some transgression in his papers when he...
And he had a brown suit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he illegally came into the country. He'd been wearing that brown suit for 4 years. He was in a waiting trial prison for 4 years.
I will never forget that. And do you remember how they were all sleepy on beds?
So they take turns because the awaiting trial prison. So if you've ever gone down the street into Pretoria, we've got Khosi Mampuru prison on your left. The block that faces the road is the awaiting trial block. Inside of that, there are four people to a bed. So what they do is they split it into shifts of like 6-7 hours each in the bed. And then they sleep at alternate times.
And the other squash against a wall.
Yeah. It's horrible.
It was actually Moses Sotolu killed 40-something people.
That wasn't
And
so
Donald Choke and all those guys.
Frightening, but not, yeah.
They stayed in quite comfortable quarters.
They had single cells.
Yeah.
And a little playground with wire all around it. Like a cage. It's literally a cage.
And the white-collar crime man that was sitting over there. He was a Dutch guy, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the point is that we've been in the business for, I said 47th birthday, because it always reminds me I'm 6 months younger.
I do remember, just while we're on that subject, because I think it's something most people, I hope, you know, if you're a good law abiding citizen, you never have seen the inside of an actual prison, because there's a difference between, you know, like a jail cell at the police station and a prison. Is a very horrible place. Do you remember that food?
It was like two slices of brown bread with a bit of peanut butter.
And there was porridge, but I remember the smell of it. And I thought,
that's the smell of Maltabella.
I would have to be so hungry to eat that.
I actually enjoyed it, strange enough. I ate it.
Well,
it's me. Where's that green thing?
I was going to say, you're opening the door for a joke.
And I was smaller than this. I mean, I was bigger, much bigger than this. I'm smaller now. But it's good to be here this morning. And it's...
You good?
Yes.
What's happening with you? Don't worry about me. I'm here every second day.
I'm off to Greece tomorrow.
Well, some people have a really good life. You know, here he is. How are you? I'm good. I'm having a happy day. I'm going to Greece tomorrow.
I want to go see the Acropolis again.
Okay.
I'm going to Mykonos. I'm going to Budapest.
So Mykonos for the gays is a big thing, Hale.
For the gays and for the beach.
And you're a gay.
And I'm a gay.
So what happens in Mykonos? Did all the gays just get naked?
I'm not going for the naked.
What happens?
I'm going to actually just have fun.
I still want to know what happens.
Mykonos is not just for the gays.
No, but it's
It's a great, stop. Great. No, no, I'm not.
Is your grand watching? Can you tell me what happens?
I'm not going for any of that.
Tell me what happens though, because you've been there for that.
I've never.
No,
I went. I went.
So why do the gays go then?
Because it's a very popular gay destination, but it's like Cape Town is.
What? So they can have cocktails.
Yeah, but our good friend Nikki van der Walsen there in Liemenburg.
Cocktails.
They're always there. A lot of shape. It's a very.
No,
cool
but
place.
That's not what people want to know. The rest of us who are not there for that, we want
to
know.
I will come back to the show afterwards and tell you if
tell
I'm
us the truth.
Seeing anything funny, but I haven't been in 26 years.
Okay, so
Greece. So
all right, well, that's a long time to not.
24 years actually.
So you're meeting up with them there.
So we're going to meet some mates there, and after that, I'm going to Budapest.
Oh, nice!
And then I'm going to Venice because I've never been in a gondolier, so I want to see what that's like.
Gondola. The guy who paddles it is called the gondolier.
Ah, okay. Well, I've never been in a gondolier or on a gondola. How was that?
That's very nice.
Yeah.
I hear Greece, though, is very expensive.
Yeah, life's expensive. I think it's... So I've never told anyone this. When you go to rehab, because it's 3.5 years that...
Hey, listen, congratulations.
Thanks.
Ring the bell. Ellen's been sober for 3 years.
Three and a half years. Yeah.
I remember. We used to drink together. I still drink.
We've done rehab discussions and...
But I think people are interested, Elle, before you jump straight into it, because... 3.5 years sober is not easy, and it takes a huge amount of willpower. And I think, you know, going to rehab is a tough thing. Most people wouldn't want to talk about that, but you're very open about it. And I think it's been an amazing life change for you. I mean, you've done, incredible stuff since you've decided to stop drinking.
Look how rude this person is.
What? Can you please ask Alan Ford not to breathe into the mic like an obese asthmatic? Oh, that's Carl. Don't worry. He's also obese.
Ah, Carl.
So tell us. Don't worry about the...
Is everyone's favorite gay.
Okay, so there we go.
Brent Lindicke's only fourth. Who's two and three? RuPaul.
Elton John.
And Elton John, okay.
So tell me
Carl,
about
you
this.
Just redeemed yourself. I
listen,
like
pay
you.
Attention. Mm. It's very easy to distract you. This thing about going sober, all the things that have improved in your life because of this, I think it's worth sharing this stuff.
Let's go through this. So it was rough. Remember, I came onto the show a month after I'd been in rehab.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't realize that an alcoholic is not somebody that necessarily drinks. Because I never drank every day. I never drank in the day.
Yeah.
I was just a binge drinker. Went to rehab for 30 days to House and House. And then I did all the outreach programs, the proper stuff. So 90 meetings in 90 days.
Wow.
I took it very seriously because I thought, well, let's, if we're going to do this, we'll do it properly. So we're sitting on 3.5 years today. And it's been life-changing. I doubled my business. I then quadrupled it the year after that.
And you don't think you could have done that if you were still drinking?
No ways. No ways. Because I wasn't functioning at my optimal, at my best, you know. And so it's been a phenomenal road. But there's a very strong message here that I want to tell people is that we don't realize that we live in quite an alcoholic society.
Oh, South Africa especially, right?
Yeah.
I mean, South Africans don't know how to have fun unless they're drinking.
Ireland's also terrible, I believe. And because I know some people were there recently. But and they told me don't come because it's just drink.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. And it's so fascinating because we don't think we've got a problem when we, you know, if you're going home and you're saying I need a glass of wine to chill, or a couple of glasses of wine to chill every day, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that you're going to drink Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, you're going to go balls to the walls. There's an issue there. I'm telling you, there's an issue. If you haven't realized it, there's a problem.
But
and here's the key. It's what when your life becomes unmanageable when you are drinking and when you're doing things, that's when it becomes a problem. People are driving drunk, people are hitting their wives or hitting their husbands, or driving with their kids drunk in the car, or waking up the next day in a bad mood because they're still
spotted. Hungover.
Drunk. Hangover.
I mean, hangovers
and fighting.
The one
people.
Reason I would stop is just the hangovers. It's just such a waste of time the next day.
Yeah. So I'm trying to just say that we live in a society. I'm sorry to depress everyone who drinks this morning, but
that's
but,
all right. They'll just have a drink.
Have a drink. But the but you've got to start to watch this, and you've got to see what. And I'm telling you, I wasn't functioning at my optimal capacity.
So let me ask you this: If drinking is what you say it is for many people, it's a coping mechanism. People's lives are hard, right?
Yeah, times are tough.
sure, they get up, they go to work. Sometimes work is horrible, but you've got to do it because you need the income.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to choose. You've got kids, you've got husbands and wives, you've got responsibilities, health problems. People got all kinds of things. Maybe they look forward to that drink a little bit too much. But what coping mechanisms are acceptable? Because you know, many people, they'll stop drinking and then they'll take on something else.
Yeah, so
they'll become a workaholic. Yeah. They'll become an eataholic, an exerciseaholic or whatever.
So you've got to actually start to feel.
What do you mean?
You've got to start to feel what you are feeling in the present moment. So we're quick to bottle up those feelings and then we drink to go to the bottle.
Yeah.
So instead of dealing with what you what's actually you're facing, and whatever those demons are, you are drinking them away, and you're hiding it under the carpet, and it's becoming much worse. And that's the problem.
So you reckon that if you really want a long-term solution to these things, you have to face the problem
head on, and you've got it. And if you're in an unhappy marriage, you have to deal with that. You can't drink it away.
Get divorced. get divorced.
I advocate it.
Yeah,
you know. It's,
yeah.
So there's
Oh no, nothing worse than being in an unhappy marriage.
And so, you're going to read a book called Slaying the Dragon.
Yes. Yeah, we're interviewing that guy.
And you'll see how his life was so... And he got into meds because he had an op.
There's a guy called Antonio Iozzo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A brilliant launch.
Yeah.
And he was being interviewed by the author of Smacked, who published and ghostwrote
Melinda, we've had her on. Yeah.
And so these are Melinda all recovering addicts. And firstly, he would never be able to... And he was a functioning billionaire.
You mean a functioning alcohol, a functioning drug addict and billionaire.
And billionaire. Yeah. So, and...
I mean, everyone would want to be a functioning billionaire. Yeah. I don't think that's a problem. Yeah, I'm a functioning billionaire. Well, if you're not functioning, but you're a billionaire anyway, eh.
But there's the truth of the matter, is that my life has changed. It's really been great. Met someone great. They drink. They do what they want to do.
It's not a them, they. It's a he.
Yeah.
You got to say, when you say they, you know, people are like...
He does what he wants to do. And here's the secret to what I've been able to change my business.
Yeah.
I don't fight with people. There's no drama.
You used to have a lot of drama.
It was drama. And and
do you think you liked the drama?
No. You're in a deregulated space when you're drunk. You're not regulated. Think about it, Gareth. You're not regulated. So you get home and you want to lose it with people and you bar fights. I don't see straight people punching each other.
Did you get into fights?
Yeah, when we were younger. Hey, yes, we did.
Did you have fights?
I got into fights. Do you know, I once punched somebody through the windows of a bar in a local named Dr. Jeremy Mansfield. It was actually his bar.
Mansfield.
Punched someone and they went flying through the window.
I can't imagine.
Those were the late 90s. We were a bit mad.
Yes.
It's fun. I'm Lebanese. Come on. I might be gay, but I can still...
No, no, sure.
Give you a left hook.
No, no, you're a proper Leb.
But that's... So so I want to talk to you about traveling and about...
Yes.
So in rehab, we did a financial exercise to work out how much money that I was spending on booze. And Gareth, if you go out once a week to a club, you spend 1,200 rand. Easy. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And then you go... The money wastage is insane.
And then you go and you work out your overseas trips.
Oh,
and you work.
No.
So
it's ridiculous.
I was spending between 10 and 12,000 rand a month on booze. So I put it into a fun fund now. And so if you can afford it. And that money I saved to go on these lovely Grecian holidays.
Because you're always on holiday. I'm a little bit jealous. Like deep down, I don't actually get jealous of anybody, but I somehow... When I see Alan posting these things, you were at the Taylor Swift concert the other day. I wasn't jealous of the Taylor Swift concert, but you were in London for that.
I had a bit of work.
You went to the rugby in Paris for the final.
Mm-hmm.
You get to these interesting things, but this is coming from money that you're saving from not drinking.
Now,
amazing.
Oh, so that's what you're doing. So and of course, I mean, that's added to a trip that I would do anyway.
Sure.
But I've got something exciting. Can I talk about something exciting coming?
Go on. Let's
please,
hear.
May I? Yeah. Can I give it a plug?
Go.
Okay. So a guy called James McIntosh contacted me. I'm obsessed with rugby. And we're off to Scotland.
Okay.
Okay. And I want to take a bunch of people with. Okay. So I'd like to know if you would like to come to Scotland to watch Springboks versus Scotland in Murrayfield.
When?
Okay. It's the 8th of November.
No,
8th of November coming up. It's 23K.
But do you want to take a whole bunch of strangers with you?
I want to go with a bunch of fun strangers going crazy.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course,
that's like my worst nightmare.
I know lots of the books. So we'll probably meet up with them. And there's a whiskey tour, which I won't be on. You'll go on the whiskey tour because I can't go on that.
No.
But we're going to go get rugby tickets and have a jaw. That includes your accommodation.
That sounds fun.
Includes your accommodation.
But are you sure you want to go with strangers?
Yeah, I want to go with strangers. So please go to my Instagram, Alan Chubby Ford, if you'd like to. Please join me in Scotland. Think about it. Scottish. Like it could be fun. Do you want to come?
No.
Okay. Well, no, Gareth won't be there. But we'll probably meet Ebert Itzebeth and meet some of the guys. And it's going to be a great trip. So can I give that plug?
Yeah, of course. There.
Thanks. Please, guys.
So we'll even leave all the details in the description of the show so that you can go and join Alan. All right. I'm just looking at the comments here, Elder. A couple of people on here.
What do we say?
Someone, Bitcoin Butt, says, how can you sit with your shoes on the couch like that?
I know. It's very rude. And
he
asked
me permission. And I said, yeah, it's fine.
I'm in a much more comfortable position, honestly. And it is rude. It is rude. So it's you shouldn't do it. But I do have. I'm quite meticulous. And there's a company in Sandton City that scrubs your shoes. So I take it to
the sneaker shack check. Or whatever it's called.
And so you can see my shoes have been scrubbed clean.
Yeah, I like
nice
clean.
They're scrubbed clean. So just so you know, these are clean shoes.
Look at this
shoes.
Carl, who was complaining and being rude earlier. He says, I stopped drinking, but since then I've been arrested twice for masturbating at the pub.
Wow.
You've got to change one thing for another, right?
Yeah. Carl's Portuguese.
Yeah, he's Portuguese.
Portuguese. Okay. How's it going in the South, Carl?
Mix says that you look like a hooligan football coach, Al.
I like that. Do you know, I was a football coach once.
What?
Let me tell you a story. Great story.
How many lives have you lived?
So what happened was they didn't have a coach for the Lebanese soccer team at Wits University.
There was a Lebanese soccer team.
Yeah, we were second division soccer team. Yeah. It was a third division. And I was on the committee and they didn't have a coach. So there was a book. At that stage, the CNA used to have idiot's guides too.
I remember those, yeah.
So I bought an idiot's guide to soccer.
Yeah.
Because I never played soccer. I played rugby. And I was the coach of the soccer team. And you know, we won that league.
So, I mean, you could be.
And I was too fat to run up and down the field.
But you could
shout. I got a golf cart. And I was zooming up and down the field. And on my life, I don't mean to be funny. I had to tell you a story. Jetline did the And I want to tell you that the game, seriously, Jetline put this gave us our uniforms. It was owned by Albie Masters, an honorary Leb.
Yeah.
And what happened?
What's your Lebanese? Hang on. You just made me think of something. What's the Lebanese golf club that your dad was a member of?
The Phoenicians.
The Phoenicians. Yeah.
So
very good, very respectable golf.
So we had this beautiful apparel made, and mine arrived, and mine was the biggest size, but it didn't fit because I weighed 180 kilos of those stuff. Seriously, I did, and I had to cut the pants to fit through the middle of the shirts. So I had the pants and the shirt in one outfit. And as a shirt, I was a soccer coach. It was fun, and we won the league. And
Well, Carl says he's actually half Leb, half Pora, so he's from the South as well. South,
and he's masturbating in pubs.
That fits, doesn't it?
No, I don't know about that.
From the South.
The South is cool. Nothing wrong.
But
with
you're the
South.
Original Lebs from Mayfair as well.
Mayfair, which is in the centre.
Yeah.
And Ford is not Lebanese.
No.
My father was half Lebanese. My mother's half Lebanese.
Right. So you're only half.
I'm only half, yeah.
Oh. What's the other half?
British.
Oh.
And German Welsh.
That's where the football coach comes from.
Yeah, maybe.
The hooligan football coach.
But they were great. They were great Lebanese. Great Lebanese football players. Des Backus. And we had, in South Africa, had some phenomenal Lebanese.
Listen, the Leb community in this country is huge. And they stick together. They're very, very cool people. I've got lots of friends in the Lebanese community. But you know, people don't think they always go, well, there's the Poras and there's the Greeks and there's the Jews. But the Lebs are further down the list when people think of.
And we're a great culture. We've got wonderful music and beautiful church on the side of the road there.
I drove past it this morning on my way.
It's really great. So it's Viva Lebanese Viva.
There we go. Now you've done that. Now you can get on with the day.
Alan
called me on, when was it? Monday. No, last week. When you remember when there's that snow on Table Mountain, supposedly?
Can I set this up? Can I say something to you? Do you know I just got back from Cape Town yesterday?
Yeah.
It was 28 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday was 28 degrees. Sunday was almost close to 30 degrees.
Okay.
And I had phoned you on last week. Wednesday, 2 days after your birthday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. When we had seen this video.
Yeah, so Alan was furious. And
fuming.
I mean, he gets cross about ridiculous things like
I
this.
Do. Yeah.
So I answer my call and I say, hey, Al. He goes, listen, this video with the snow on Table Mountain, it's bullshit. He goes, it's bullshit, right? Can't be. He says, it can't be. I've called my business partner in Cape Town. He's looking out of his window. He doesn't see anything.
It's true. He's looking outside his window and he sees a little cloud. And it's not a bad day. Mm-mm. All right. And we see a guy on Table Mountain put a video.
Everyone is sharing that video.
Yeah, about, can you believe I'm walking up Table Mountain? And it was shared because when I saw it, around about 9:30 in the morning.
No, lots of people were sharing it.
And so something never made sense. Firstly, I hate the false news. I hate it. Everybody thinks they're a journalist.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an opinion. And the people that are the journalists and you don't know what you believe anymore. So now I go, damn, I'm so excited. This Snow on Table Mountain, and I'm about to post this Snow on Table Mountain thing. It's kind of cool. Just Snow on Table Mountain.
Yeah, but especially in August, September. Yeah.
And then my friend can't see it. They're having not a bad day, and she's looking up at the mountain. And then I'm thinking to myself, hold a second. What's the weather like? Lows of 7, highs of 12.
Yeah,
can't snow at 7 at 12.
It's not cold enough for snow to form.
Table Mountain is not the Himalayas.
No.
Not that high. And then I thought of this dude that took the video. Now, this is the person that intrigues me the most. Because let's say it did happen. I mean, let's just assume this.
All right.
The cable cars aren't working. Okay. So that means this idiot had to walk in the snow. Okay. Up Plateau Cliff.
Yeah.
Gorge.
Yeah.
Okay. At 6 in the morning. To get to Table Mountain to take pictures of the snow. And this fool didn't get killed. Now, he deserves to fall off the mountain. And I don't want people to die. I don't wish that. I don't wish death on anyone. But I'm going, what asshole climbs a mountain to take videos of the snow and then sends it to everyone and goes viral? If it is true.
Yeah.
To the person that took the video,
yes,
you're an idiot. Let's get that. You really are. It's dangerous. Okay, that's stupid. Because you see, Gareth, this is what people don't realize. You affect other people's lives when you do something like that. Because let's say you fall and you hurt yourself or you get killed. We've got to go visit you in hospital.
NSRI have to go up there and rescue you. We have to go rescue you.
Then we've got to take a shot.
It's expensive, by the way.
It's expensive.
We had a guy on the show.
It's an expensive thing, man.
Probably about a year ago, and this guy works for the NSRI. They spend half the year in Cape Town rescuing
people.
People from – these are just normal hikers who get lost in the mist. They lose their way. They get held up by bergies who, you know, have knives. This is a terrible thing. Why are you doing this to other people? You're involving other people.
And you get us involved with it.
Yeah.
It's like people that drive drunk. I always ask them for the keys. Well, I'm happy to pay for the Uber. Because firstly, I'm a funeral person. So I end up going to the funeral.
Jeez. If you follow Alan on social media, every other week it's rest in peace. I've never seen so many obituaries. It's like that page in the newspaper in the old days.
Yeah, classifieds. You know, the deaths columns. So I got a few.
What do you always put there? M-A-H-D.
So I tell my mates.
What is it? M-H-D-S-R-I-P or what?
May his dear soul rest.
Oh, is that what it stands for?
Yes. Or may their dear soul or may her dear soul.
Oh,
rest in peace.
Okay.
But I want to get this concept through to you. So please give me your car keys and I'll pay for your Uber. And I'll get you there the next morning because I don't want to see you in hospital. I don't want to.
So it comes from love.
No, it comes from absolute. No, that's not true. It comes from selfishness. I don't have the time to sit in hospital and go to funerals and sit there consoling your mother after you do stupid things.
Well, here's
that's really
so. Mo Rabbit says the weather on Table Mountain changes very quickly. It can be 35 at sea level and freezing on top. Been in that more than once. It's about a 1 kilometer elevation. So I don't know whether it's possible that there could have been snow. But, you know, the fact is nobody questions this. They just share it.
Okay. So Mo, let's assume that this is the case. This guy shouldn't have been climbing that mountain. He could have got hurt, and he must have got up very early in that morning in darkness to get up there because it's a two and a half hour walk. And if he ran up there in the slippery and it was slippery, he would have got himself injured. So this is not a smart dude, Mo.
You get so like bent out of shape about this, though. It's hilarious because Alan was genuinely upset. Like, you know, most of us get upset if, you know, you bump your car or, I mean, that's justifiable. This guy gets upset about someone posting something. Yeah. Jared says, yo, Alan even DM'd me as well, cucking me all over me for reposting that video. Did you shit on a whole lot of people?
A whole bunch of people. I said,
really? You went on a mission?
Yeah. Just plain Jared. Yeah. Did I not say to you, bro? They're not saying to you, you need to check our facts. You can't just post things. Can't just post things that are not the truth. Because I almost did it. You need to check these things.
I love that you're shitting on people in their DMs while the rest of us are trying to go about our day. And I'm
literally
sitting there.
I did. And Jared, I told you the truth, bro. Come on. Come on, dude.
That's hilarious.
Take it off.
Oh, my God.
Have it verified. It was not on News 24. It wasn't so verified by journalists.
News 24.
I'm just saying, it wasn't verified. Come on.
Well, all right.
You can't just post stuff that you don't believe. You know, guys, we've got to be careful. False news is ready. It's ready in the day.
Well, I think it's a good idea for everybody to check something out and to actually make sure you do your due diligence before you post something, right? Because you could be spreading all kinds of shit.
That's true.
I mean, like the news media do. They spread a whole lot of shit.
So I was really aggravated about that.
Okay, I can tell. You're still aggravated a week later.
So fuming. Is it the lack of booze or is it just grumpy?
I don't know.
It's the age.
It's the age. It's definitely.
Are we going to be sitting here in another 20 years?
The man's going to Greece tomorrow and he's moaning about Table Mountain and snow. I love it.
Yeah, so.
Where do you still want to go? You've been all over the place.
So I'm going to go back to Rio in February for my birthday for carnival. I'm in joining a school.
What?
To dance in the carnival.
Oh, you're going to dance in the carnival?
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
You're
going
to get dressed up.
So gay, but so great.
You're going to get the dressed up
feathers,
the whole thing.
Really? I want to look. And all these people have the hottest bodies, you know? And I'm going to be standing there.
You're going to be on a float.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be great.
With all those samba girls and they're shaking their booties. Wow.
I can see you wearing like remember who were those dancers at Sun City back in like
they were the extravaganza dancers.
That's it. You're going to look like an extravaganza dancer.
It's going to be great. Well, I'm not going to look like that, but I mean, because they give you these. Yeah, I've been a part of it before. About 25 years ago. No, nothing so. Gareth, I know I've got boobs, but come on,
ladies and gentlemen, break. This is an exclusive. Alan Ford used to be in the Sun City Extravaganza.
No, but I've done this, so I'm going. So, I'd like to go to Russia when it's not at war because it's kind of just inappropriate.
Yeah.
I want to do Alaska.
What do you want to do in Russia?
I just want to just.
You want to hunt a bear or something?
No, man. I think
it's going to drive
cool.
a tank.
I can't drink vodka, but the whole place would.
Going to drive a tank.
That would be in China, but something.
No, they'll
other,
let
too.
You drive a tank in Russia.
Do that?
Yeah,
I'd like to do that. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Have you not heard about these bachelor party
where they
packages
where they rent
buy?
A tank? It's kind
so
of cool.
If you go to Russia for your bachelor party and you like, I don't know, an oligarch or a billionaire or whatever, there's nothing you can't get.
Mm.
Like they'll organize, you know, the strippers, the booze, the drugs, the tank you can drive.
Wow.
You can hunt animals. You can hunt people, probably. I don't know what you can't do. Russia. It's Russia. So, you know, if you say to them, can I get this? Well, you can get this. It's no problem.
So, can I tell
you? That's what you secretly you want to go and hunt bears in Russia.
Do you want to know about this travel bug? And I want to share it with you.
Yeah, because I don't have it.
Okay, but let me tell you what happened. I had the interview as Jeremy Mansfield started his chemo treatment.
Oh, yeah.
And that immunotherapy treatment.
Hmm.
For my television show on CakeNet called Dade Looked Up, to have Jeremy interviewed. And I was sitting in the interview, and Jeremy told her a story of meeting, and he even brought on the American accent. He was on a cruise ship in Alaska. He was about 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, Sonny, in his American accent. So they were having a beer or whatever. Tell me, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm just enjoying this trip. I love holidays. And he said, you know, the guy was about 85 years old. He said, Jeremy Mansfield. He said, you know, Sonny, you are going to have, if you're lucky, for the rest of your life, another 40 summers and another 40 winters.
Yeah.
And you're going to make them count.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, Jeremy only had 18, not 41.
Yeah, he didn't.
Okay.
He didn't
and I want to tell you that we did that interview with Jeremy, and he never had another summer because he only saw the winter. And I'm not trying to depress everybody, but I want you to think about the notion that in our lives, Gareth, we're sitting in our mid to late 40s, and comfortably we probably have another 30, 35
years.
Do you
think about that?
You got to think about it because it's cool. Because it's cool to know that if I don't make – my 30 summers count and my 30 winters count. You know, I'm going to miss out on beautiful things and experiences in life. Because that's what we've got. That's what we've got in this world.
I don't disagree. I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons that people should travel. And I also think it's because you, if you're interested in the world, you want to see as much as possible. But I don't have this burning, like, anxiety. I travel a bit. But I mean, this year I haven't gone overseas once. And I'm not, like, upset about it.
But no one sent you that you to go overseas. I mean, I love Cape Town. I love Nasna. I go to the bush regularly because I love South Africa and what our game reserve have to offer. I mean, a couple of years ago during COVID, I had a, because I was able to cross provinces. I used to drive and go for a drive into the Pilansburg. You know, if you want to do something great with your kids, is you leave 8 o'clock in the morning, you get to the Pilansburg at 10, costs you like $150 for the car.
Yeah, and you can drive around all day.
Drive and see beautiful animals. And then drive back home and you're home by 7 o'clock at night. You know, there are things that you can do. I'm not saying you need to go and spend mega bucks on a tank in Russia. I'm saying, I mean, or go to Mykonos. I'm saying to you, you need to understand that you can celebrate and you can do it camping and you can do it fishing and you can do it playing golf or you, but that's what you're going to have. And the reality check is if you're watching now, and you're 30 or 35 years old, you probably have 40 or 45 more summers.
That's it.
And winters left in your life.
I often think about that thing.
Same with your birthday. Your birthday needs to be celebrated.
Yeah, well, all right. I mean, like, you're not going to convince me of that. There was we have Tourvest on here often, and we talk about travel.co.za. And last time Achi from travel.co.za was here, he mentioned that there's this thing called over-touristing. That's happening in Europe at the moment, where the Europeans themselves are pissed off because they need tourism, but the tourists have taken over their city. So places like Barcelona, for example, are actually limiting the amount of hotel rooms and Airbnbs there because they're sick of tourists. They're actually furious. They're angry about it. Do you worry about that going in there? And
listen, I go in. I don't go. I'm smart because I don't feel like screaming kids on a beach.
Yeah,
jumping all over.
So what do you do?
I leave with the school holidays now start.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I'll go now. So you got to be clever about your travel. But I think it's so, I think it's fun. I think it's great to see new places. It's good to go. You're supporting the economy. You know, we look at South Africa and when we have a rugby game and you get like 5,000 people.
Were you there on Saturday?
From Ireland. No, I wasn't. Strangely, I wasn't actually. But I had to work to do in Cape Town, else I would have been there. But 5,000 people come from New Zealand. I mean, how incredible is that? You have 5,000 people coming to see South Africa from New Zealand, and we need that money. We need that spend. And it creates jobs, and it's cool. And you traveling is like reading. It takes you to learn about a place, another culture. It teaches you about art, especially European travel, because of the thousands of years of history there. Okay, or to go to Greece to learn about the Parthenon, or to go to Lebanon about.
What I'm asking you is like, there's this huge queue. I was in Greece last year, and if you want to go up and see the Acropolis, it's a queue. Yeah, it doesn't matter what time you get there.
But you got to be clever because you book your time, and then you get the fast pass.
Oh, okay. Is that what you're going to do this time?
No, that's what you do. You do smart things. Otherwise, you wait in the queue. What you going to do? Die?
There's a way. Yeah. I mean. This is Alan Ford, who once fetched me and said, come, you better put on your dinner jacket. We're going to the presidential inauguration. Snuck into that. So you don't like a queue. You know how to get in.
Well, I won't sneak into a queue. In foreign lands, it's quite but like, for example, I went to last year to Pompeii.
Oh, yeah?
And I was blown away by Pompeii. Did I tell you about Pompeii?
No.
Pompeii has Love got to place. Be the most fascinating place I've ever been to. Because the city was literally frozen.
Yeah.
Because as the ash came, you actually literally
pulverized people. Yeah.
Some people just froze in the ash.
Yeah.
So you actually see them frozen in the ash, or the horse was just frozen in the ash. And they've excavated and done some incredible things. So that was phenomenal to go and see that.
What's your favorite thing about Pompeii?
I've got to tell you. This is my favorite thing. So we're walking through the streets of Pompeii.
Yeah.
And it's obviously the ruins.
Yeah.
But unlike other cities, it hasn't been bombed or there's been no wars there because it was just frozen because of this volcano. Mount Vesuvius is the size of Lion's Head. It's unbelievable how this little mountain destroyed all these people, okay, in 71 AD.
Yeah.
But here's the fascinating thing about it. As you're going through, you first go through the bathhouse and the sauna, and they tell about the hedonism of the Romans.
Yeah.
But then you go to the brothel. And this is fascinating.
I knew, as usual, if Alan's on the show, we're going to talk about whores at some point.
So we walk through the brothel. It's the most exciting place to actually see, because this is the brothel. You go into the brothel, and they've got like the stone beds on each of these, maybe six rooms.
Okay.
I think there's six rooms. And if you've done this, you'll know what I'm talking about. And above in the mosaic is what you can do in that room.
Oh, it's like a menu.
It's a menu. So okay. That room, the girl offers that. And in that room, the girl offers, you see the bum. So obviously, that's it. And then as you come to the end, because it was a hedonist society, that kind of was fluid, and they didn't believe, they didn't class you as gay or straight or bi. There's two guys and one girl, and then there's two guys at the end. So
you were excited by that idea. You would have frequented that brothel in those days.
I think, you know, if you do a past life progression, I'm just saying.
You probably did.
I probably did.
Maybe you caused the explosion with all your sin.
Anyway, it was very interesting. Roman times.
Alan just had a terrible realization that he might have caused the eruption of Vesuvius.
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, man. Yeah. But it is amazing how...
But that's interesting to learn. No, but you learn.
So we always think we're so evolved, that we're so different, we're so much better than other societies. And, you know, the modern human is a much more complex creature. But exactly the same. Like if they froze Johannesburg in time, like Pompeii, there'd be some really, really difficult stories to explain. Oh. You remember when 9/11 happened and there was that guy who told his wife that he was going to work, and she phoned him when the plane flew into the World Trade Center, and he answered the call and she said, "Oh my God, are you all right?" And he's like, "Yeah, why? What happened?" She was watching TV. He told her he was going to work, but he was visiting his mistress.
Very lucky guy. Not lucky, because of the mistress, because he didn't die.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's those kinds of things. Like if everything stopped in time, what would people say if they dug up everything that was going on in this city? I'll tell you what, there'd be some stories.
Yeah, but most people were pulverized, obviously.
Yeah, well, everybody was. Even if they managed to get out into a boat,
yeah,
they into also, the Bay of Naples.
Did you know that? They did.
Because
yeah.
The ash, yeah. it wasn't the... People always think when a volcano erupts that it's like the lava.
Ash burns you. It's the ash.
No, the ash just it compacts around you, and you basically become fossilized inside there. Burns you to a crisp.
There's a great documentary.
Lovely. What a lovely conversation this time of the morning.
So if we are depressing you, please forgive us. We'll change the subject. What else are we talking about?
There's a lot going on. Actually, I wanted to – Alan's mate when he hit home. How was your trip, Alan? It was a nice Pompeii.
Pompeii, yeah. Now, clever. That's cute.
So Percy says he went to Ephesus. Mary Magdalena started her naughtiness there. Walked on a route backwards without a guide and had the whole place to myself for 3/4 of the walk. Yeah, you have to do things differently if you want to see it, I suppose.
And that's Ephesus. That's in...
That's in Turkey, Ephesus.
It's in Turkey, yeah. How did she walk? So she must have met Jesus after that.
She
had reformed her ways. Okay. And Alan...
she had reformed... her dirty ways, El. Is that what you're saying? All right. So, here's
what did Dr. Robin say?
Who?
Yeah.
And Alan rethinks the naming of his penis to Vesuvius because he caused the eruption. Hopefully, you don't have like a pet name.
Dr. Robin.
Okay. So, apparently, single individuals in Spain have been visiting a supermarket chain called Mercadona from 7 to 8 p.m. This is a thing that's going on in Spain at the moment. We were just talking about Barcelona. Yeah. So apparently they go there to find romance by using a full-based code, okay? So the trend involves placing a pineapple upside down in their shopping trolley, then heading to the wine section where they hope to connect with someone that they find attractive. It was sparked by a video on TikTok and has led to chaotic and disorderly scenes in stores. While some find it amusing, others, including the store employees, are not pleased with the mess it creates. Additionally, there are concerns about how social media trends can influence and shape social behavior. So clearly the Spanish have lost the ability to actually walk up and talk to each other, that you now have to turn a pineapple upside down in your shopping trolley, and that's a sign that you're interested in.
Okay, so
you're free, you're single.
So I was in Barcelona. I never saw that. But there are places that you can go to that says that clubs or bars where if you're wearing the
But that's an old thing. Wasn't that happening 10 years ago already?
If you're wearing the pink tag, you're single.
Okay.
If you're wearing the blue tag, you're in a relationship. If you're wearing the orange tag, you are polyamorous. You're open to things.
And so which one did you wear?
No, I mean, we're wearing the I'm in a relationship, so we'd wear the
You wear the relationship one.
Yeah. But and then you, the one that you're in will tell you if you can be hit on, and then and it's that's what they do now.
Yeah, but okay, let's be
which
clear
is quite,
about
which
this.
Is diff- which is different.
Sure, and I mean at least it cuts to the chase. So
well,
people know
a
what
pineapple upside down is a bit backwards. At least there would be a way to do it.
The problem is though, just because you're wearing the orange band and someone else is wearing the orange band doesn't mean you want to be with them just because they're available.
No one's saying that.
No, I mean,
just
this
because
is
the one man has a pineapple upside down and the woman's got a pineapple upside down doesn't mean they're going to go
together.
But
this is the problem. I mean,
but they might find something in that wine section.
Clearly, people are; otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this, right?
Yeah, but I think it's. I think it's really fascinating.
But isn't it complicated? Have we lost?
Why are they not on Tinder?
Why have we lost the ability to actually just walk up and speak to each other? Like before Tinder, before upside down pineapples and carts, before wearing the different colored bracelets, people still got together. The human species has survived because people clearly found each other and had sex. So why is it complicated now? Have we lost, because of these goddamn phones, have we lost the ability to just meet people and have a relationship?
I think things have evolved, number one. Number two is that, because I have a lot of people say to me, how do you meet someone? And social media is a nice way to meet people. Tinder, if you want to go.
When you were single, were you on those apps?
Do you know what? I wasn't on the Grindr app, but I was, because the Grindr app, you're like, if you want action, I'm 100 meters away. Let's go have a.
Is that how it works? So it's geolocation. Huh?
Mm-hmm. And Tinder was the
just like that. Oh.
Yeah, and the Tinder one was polite. Let's have coffee and just do that.
Oh, it's just like that.
Just like that. And the Tinder one was more polite. But these dating apps are kind of cool, and now they've got like the Jewish dating app just for Jewish people.
Yeah, JDate or something.
Yeah,
and there's Hinge.
Yeah, so I think they're cool, and I think that if you're lonely or you'd like to meet someone, maybe not lonely, and you'd like to put yourself out into the world, it's a nice way to do it. And if you have a drinking problem and you can't go to clubs, then that's another way to do it. So
there was that celebrity one, which somebody told me about, and I actually downloaded it and went on it. It's the only one I've ever tried, and I was curious to see who else would be on it, right? And they vet you before you go on. It's called Raya, something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is. I'll look it up just now. But they supposedly, like these, you know, famous like Hollywood celebrities are on there. I didn't see any. I was like on there for a day and I was out. I have no
Hollywood celebrities are people. Keep it in mind. And if you're in LA, you interact with them like they're just regular oaks. And often I know guys that have hooked up at celebrities' houses for these one-night stands on those social media apps.
Really?
And all of a sudden there's Tom X or George Y. Or
you're not mentioning any names, huh?
I'm not mentioning names. I'm just giving you common names. You know? And there they are. And they hook up. So, yeah.
All right, let's talk about something serious for a second here, because this is in the news this week as well. Apparently, SARS have introduced a new two-pot retirement system. Not tin pot, because that would be bad.
Two-pot.
But SARS have got a two-pot retirement system, which allows people to access a portion of retirement savings before retirement. The system, because this has always been something that I thought was really stupid. You know, for example, you save. Let's say you're putting 1,000 rand away every month for your retirement. And then you're like in your mid-50s and you suddenly need to pay off the house in a hurry or something. And you can't access this money, which is your money, but it's tied up. So apparently this two-pot system, which we've got to look into a bit, allows you to split the retirement funds into a vested component, a savings component, and a retirement component. Withdrawals from the vested component will be taxed at the individual's marginal tax rate. Taxpayers can use the two-pot retirement system calculator to establish what their estimate for their withdrawal might be. SARS has warned taxpayers to consider restrictions on withdrawals, such as being registered for tax and having no outstanding returns or debts to SARS. Of course, they just want more money. Additionally, the tax directive system and application forms have been updated to accommodate these changes.
It's very simple. People are not coming in at the end of each month and need more disposable
income. So you mean that they don't have enough to cover their costs?
That's it.
Yeah.
And there are lots of reasons for that. And a lot of the reasons are that we're sending kids to private schools.
Yeah. It's expensive.
Life has become, if you look at the price of potatoes went up last year 40%. It's a potato, man, for goodness sakes. No, that's Irish potatoes. I mean, come on.
By the way, Carl says there's a dating app for the libs. It's called, it doubles as a family tree.
Okay. Carl.
Very good.
Yeah. Old one.
My 92-year-old grandfather, says Bitcoin Book, told me how he met my granny. She called to sell shit to his first wife. He wasn't there. She wasn't there. They talked about getting divorced, and then my granddad said, so, we need to get together. See, those are the old days, huh?
Okay. So it happened. It happens in all societies, I guess. If you want to meet someone, you're going to meet someone.
I'm currently unemployed because of the two-pot system. I took all my 13 years pension fund, says Sugar Chabalala. Yo, okay, that's not good.
Yeah.
See that comment?
But Scott's given, Scott.
Sugar.
Spars. Scott, what am I talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
The South African Revenue Service.
SARS.
Sorry.
Scott.
I thought Spars got confused at the moment. It's age. But they've warned you. They've told you, please be careful.
Well, as Carl says too, it's a bad idea. Can you imagine how many people the state is going to have to look after in 30 years? And we can't. We can't even look after people who are not retired yet. Yeah. Unemployment's a major problem. I'm a little bit nervous about this.
Listen, it's. I think that they're putting it to that. It's testing the waters. But people need money, and the banks aren't giving you money anymore.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Loans aren't.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? What are you going to do?
Big time.
You're going to sleep in cemeteries.
Well, Percy says it's like pre-retirement, as in not retirement, but pre-retirement. Mm. I don't know if that's such a good idea. Also says, what about the reasons and outcomes of our president's visit to China? It's amazing what's going on in the world. Like, our president has spent a good couple of days in China now doing all kinds of deals, and we don't know anything about it. Most people are just completely oblivious to this. Oh,
snow on top of a mountain, which is untrue.
You're still going on about this.
Let's be honest.
Jesus, Al, you got to move on.
So, but
do you know anything about what the president's doing in China?
No clue.
No, does it bother you? Because you used to be in news all the time.
We both were.
Yeah.
So it's
amazing how your life can carry on without the news.
Yeah, I mean, the news is important, but yeah, no, it's not at the forefront of my agenda. My life, prison in China.
Do you? I mean,
but I want to tell you something. I firstly loved your interview
with
our new minister,
Gayton. Yeah,
he's and I. This is a politician that reminds me of our politicians that we interviewed back in the day. People like Kada Asmal and like and in the traffic.
Oh, Dula Omar.
He
was minister of transport at the time.
And we used to have fun with them, and you could talk to your ministers. Our ministers,
they became a bit boring.
They became
serious.
They sat on their high horses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They weren't from the people.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to speak to your friend Janwala, we could pick up a phone. You could go up to them. You could, you know, we lost touch. They lost the ministers, and they a lot of them are fired now. Cheers. Shot.
By the way, I saw something interesting with Gayton, because he is Gayton McKenzie is definitely the most interesting person in cabinet at the moment. And he was at the rugby on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I watched the opening, the anthems. And apparently there's a whole lot of controversy about the plane flying over during the haka, New Zealanders.
We'll discuss that in a second.
We've got to get into that. But when they announced that Gayton was on the field, people cheered. Now, how long ago
did
people in this country cheer? Usually when the minister goes on the field, people boo. But in this case,
Nkosi Natin Tetwa was there.
Natin Tetwa.
Nkosi Natin is his full name.
Yeah.
What a boring minister. The man didn't know what an art. He wouldn't know how to. If I stuck a Picasso in front of him, he wouldn't know the damn thing is. if I kicked a rugby ball, he didn't know what he was doing. He just ate the fat 8888 and got more stupid. Do me a favor. Good riddance to bad rubbish. The whole bloody lot of them. And let me just tell you, I was a member of the ANC. And I can tell you this now, that what they did to this country was sacrilege. So now bring something.
You were a member, card carrying member.
Yeah, I was I was, and you know I was. And so, you know what? Let all you fat ass boxes, you know what? Be put out to pasture, and may you go to jail. Because you robbed from this country. Jesus. You know what?
See how he gets all like, head up about stuff.
You know what I loved about Gates and McKenzie about the Olympics?
Yeah.
Which you want to talk about, we'll talk about now. But the Olympics, he turned around and said, we have 60 million people and you've got Tajikistan and these other people have 150 athletes. He said, we have 150 athletes going to the Olympics. His goal is to get 300 people.
Yeah.
300 people to the next Olympics.
We absolutely could.
And we can because the talent's in this country. But,
definitely.
But the fat minister of sports and these oxen that should have been slaughtered. Slaughtered.
Jeez, like calm Mussolini. Down.
Like
calm
Mussolini.
Down. Calm down.
Let me continue. They should have been slaughtered because I tell you what they've done is they screwed up this country. They got fatter and fatter and they did nothing for the arts. They did nothing for culture and they did nothing. For sports.
Jittery Cursor says the last sports minister I can remember was Nkonde Balfour. Remember him?
And he was, when we were at the prison, which started the show, he was the minister of correctional services. Nkonde, you know, he was triple my size. He was a very sweet man. I liked the man. But that's not your minister of sport.
Well, one of the things that I'm really impressed about with Gates, and I said this to him in the interview, is that he is walking the talk. He actually wakes up. He does a weigh-in every Wednesday and announces his weight to the nation. He's running. He's doing gym. He's doing all the physical exercise he can fit into his schedule. And he says he's going to get thin. He says he's too big.
And you know what? This is a guy that is saying, I want Gareth, I will never forget this. One of the top songs in South Africa was Paradise Road.
Yeah, Joy.
And the lead singer in Joy, we went at the time at 702 to go and see her just before she died.
Mm-hmm.
She was living in a shack the size of this space, dying without a bed. And she had one of the top hits in the country. People like Vicky Sampson can't make ends meet at the end of the month. Charlene Suti Richards couldn't pay for her medical aid.
Yeah. But I mean,
the top South African actors and singers and stars. And
that's is that why you get involved in things like the Naledi Awards?
And the Theatre Benevolent Fund run by Liz Mayring and that.
Because you do. You get involved. You don't just talk about it.
Because we've got to help these guys. Because, I mean, later on in the show, we're going to be talking about your heritage and culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got the chairperson of the Joburg Heritage Foundation. I mean, you know, if you listen to this show for even 5 minutes, you'll know how obsessed with history I am. And we've got so much going on in Joburg that we don't know about. There are treasures in this city that are worth protecting and preserving. And thank God for people like the Joburg Heritage Foundation, because they actually are doing the job that the rest of us should be doing, that government should be doing, frankly.
And he fired that Mama Joy.
Yeah.
And I want to let me tell you a story. I was there in that stadium, seated three places, and went up to go and have a picture with Mama Joy. She was a miserable thing.
Oh, did she not want to do a picture?
My boyfriend refused to have a photo of her the way she was treating the fans. They wanted to have a picture with her. Yeah. After the cameras came, and then she put the smile and she was doing all her crap talk.
Oh, really?
And then she walked up the stairs when we won the game. She walked out and people wanted to take pictures and she said, I'm too busy. I have to get out of here. I have to leave. And I heard it. I was behind her. So, you know, it's screw you, Mama Joy. And I'm happy you're fired, you fat ox. Go to your French boyfriend.
Well, I didn't expect some controversy this morning from you, Al.
And let me tell you,
you're becoming very...
I witnessed it.
You're becoming very direct in your old age.
Fire the damn, whatever that is. That damn ox.
Even the producers are laughing. They're like, oh, Jesus.
I'm
all right.
I'm having a morning, aren't I?
So somebody says here, Gayton will show his true colors in a few months' time, political theater. That's what Roland says. He reckons it's just playing to the crowd. Maybe, hey, maybe.
And you know what? That's okay for now. But at least it's the right foot to start off with.
Justice says, hey, Gareth, please invite me when you're going to do a tour of Joburg Heritage. I want to learn and be involved. Well, this is what we're hopefully going to find out from our guest just now is what you can do, because there are. They do interesting presentations and tours. And
there's a ghost tour, which is fabulous.
That's right. I've been, I haven't been, but a friend of mine told me a while ago that he'd been on it, and he said it was fantastic. Cassandra says she loves you when you're grumpy.
Cassandra, I'm the nicest human being on radio. I am. But when I get, and I love this grumpy gay. Okay. I really am so cool, Cassandra. I'm fun and I'm loving and I'm Lebanese and I'm wonderful. And I'm just, but you know, I just get annoyed.
Percy says, it's nice of Alan to have Gareth on his show.
Oh, am I taking over? Sorry.
No, I love it. I think it's fine. Please, you share the burden. Not the end of the world. Alan showing flames. This is great. Fuck you, Mama Joyce, says Carl. People are.
That's the truth.
Animated this morning.
Yeah.
Holy shit. All right. Well, we've got to take a break. It's already 7 o'clock. I can't believe it's been an hour. When we come back, we'll talk Joburg Heritage. We've got to talk a little bit about the anger that New Zealand clearly has for us after flying the plane over the stadium during the rugby on Saturday last week, because they really are like hit up about it. Apparently, they've laid an official complaint and we've had to apologize and all that stuff. I wasn't even aware of this. My brother was at the game and he said to me he thought it was very bad. And
I also saw it. I thought it was inappropriate.
And there was a stadium DJ who started playing music like halfway through it as
they
well.
They got the cue wrong. They've explained it in the statement.
Not good. Okay, well, you can explain it to us because I don't know anything about this. But we'll find out in a little while. Alan Ford's with us. It's Wednesday morning. This is The Real Network.
Good morning.
Good morning.